good time.
What was some of the best things you heard here from your now new teammates in Carolina throughout this one?
These guys were awesome. And actually, the spot that settled me down, one of the guys said to me, just have fun. We don't care if you let 10 goals in. That settled me right down, and it was great.
Who was it?
It was Zahala.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Well-deserved, David. Just a wonderful night. Congratulations on the win, and enjoy soaking this one in.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't really know. Like I said, I had a couple text messages that told me get in there, and I hadn't seen the footage. I was in the media room kind of by myself, and the guy comes in and get going, so get ready, and walk down the tunnel, and it was wild. It was pretty fun.
What were you feeling in that moment? Were you nervous?
I thought I wasn't going to be nervous if it ever happened, but I was nervous for the whole second period. As you could tell, I couldn't stop a puck if I had to in the second, but I told the boys, when I come out in the third, I'll be ready to go. So.
Well, I went down to the local arena, asked to see the manager man. He came from his office, said, son, can I help you? Looked at him and said, yes, you can. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do. Get that ice just as thick as could be, and all the kids would look up to me. Yeah, I wanna drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I wanna drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
From the beautiful, rolly, snowy hills of the Eastern Townships, from the borough of Sherbrooke, you've tuned in to 88.9 CJMQ. I'm your host, Matt McRae, and welcome to the show. What a weekend we had. We are going to talk Scotty's Tournament of Hearts, the Jean-Guy Blanchard Open here in Sherbrooke. We go to the NBA. Toronto Raptors continue their fantastic season. The LA Lakers roll on, as do the Milwaukee Bucks. Bad news in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving is having shoulder surgery. He is done for the year. As we heard to kick off the show, I want to drive the Zamboni. 42-year-old Toronto Marlies backup goalie and Zamboni driver David Ayers gets the victory for the Carolina Hurricanes, defeating the Maple Leafs 6-3 and winning the internet for the entire weekend. Alex Ovechkin scores career goal number 700 in the NHL. We go to the trade deadline day of Monday and all the movers and shakers, the buyers and sellers of the National Hockey League. Drew Brees is back in the NFL for the year 2020. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, wins in a stoppage over the weekend, taking home some hardware and the new champion of boxing. We go to the Sports Palace here in the borough, just down the road to the Sherbrooke Phoenix, as they have a fantastic homestand over the weekend. And we also go to Lennoxville's Mitchell Gymnasium for some BU hoops. We had some standout performances from Siciliano and Demos 10. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Gators head coach Rod Gilpin, and Gardner Venz de Montaigne after a 102-93 victory over Concordia on Thursday night in Mitchell Gym. Nervenz scoring 39 points. Coach, let's start with you. First of all, how does it feel to get another win over Concordia and keeping your hopes at third place alive right now?
I mean, it's a good win. I'm not sure the game really meant that much to them, so I'm not going to put too much stock into it. I think if we get a chance to play them in the playoffs, it'll be a different team. So, and it'll be a much tougher game.
Scoring 100 points, having the offense going in what is generally a defense and a tough conference. What worked well for your guys tonight before we get to Nervenz scoring 39?
I think our defense set the tone early, and that, you know, like most teams, they feed off their defense. So I think that was a big part, but our defense did drop off at times in the fourth quarter, which was a concern.
Nervenz, a career high 39 points tonight, the most in the RSCQ this year. What was working?
I had to shoot the ball well. I had to start early and in the first quarter. So the defense come to me, and after that I just drive, and the defense bring the offense because I'm good in transition. So that was my game today. That's the best game ever that I ever played too. So shout out to my teammate and the coach who made the game plan, and it worked. So yeah.
Great. Well, thanks very much, guys. Stay tuned to Gators.ca as we follow you throughout the RSCQ postseason.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And welcome back to the show. That is the men's basketball coach, Rod Gilpin, with their star, Nervenz de Montaigne, number 11, scoring 39 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals as they emerged victorious 102-93 here in Mitchell Gymnasium as they ousted the Concordia Stingers. Good news for the men's basketball team. They also won on February 22nd, 72-61 at UCAM as they get ready for the RSEQ playoffs. But I'm pretty sure we're going to get to that in our first segment. Without further ado, we're already almost 8 minutes in. We got to get to first and 10. I've got the top 10 hottest topics in sports today. We will address them all now. Where's that bell? And away we go. We go back to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Manitoba's Carrie Earnerson winning 8-7 in an extra end over Rachel Holman, missing a draw against 2 in the last end, but then coming up huge in the extra end to catch the forefoot and a piece of the button for her very first national title. This team of 4 skips just played amazing, and Rachel Holman was going for her 4th title. She was just right there. We will hear from Earnerson and Rachel Holman. Everybody be ready for the Tim Hortons Briar, which is coming up starting this Friday with the wild card match. You got Manitoba's Mike McEwen taking on Ontario's Glenn Howard. The winner is in. The winner is in for the Tim Hortons Briar, and the loser goes home. Playing a lot at stake. All the big names are there. Brad Gushu from Newfoundland. You got Brad Jacobs from Northern Ontario. Kevin Cooey back as Team Canada. Brendan Botcher from Alberta. One of the deepest fields that we have seen. I will be going up to Kingston, Ontario, not too far from here, hopefully to get some additional coverage for ourselves here and this very show. Number 2, we jump to the NBA now. And the Lakers continue to roll, defeating the Boston Celtics over the weekend in a tight, tight affair. LeBron James making a fantastic fadeaway J at the end, nationally televised game on ABC. The Raptors do very well. We will hear from Coach Nick Nurse. We'll also hear from Drake and his newest player on the Raptors, the very tanned Fred VanVleet, a.k.a. Frederico. But it's still good news for the Raptors as they've got the 3rd best record in the NBA. They've passed the Celtics now. They are 42-15 on the year. The only teams better than them are Milwaukee with 48 victories. And of course, the aforementioned LA Lakers with 43 victories. So 3rd in the NBA is fantastic. Losing Kawhi and still being able to do that? Amazing. To number 3. Going to Kyrie Irving, he is done for the season, shoulder surgery. Kevin Durant, videos on the internet have emerged of him finally getting some mobility and shooting, but he's done, so this is such a write-off season for Brooklyn. Now as the ever-volatile Kyrie Irving, done for the year and nobody too sad to see. Number 4, to another great story, we heard it off the top of the show, 42-year-old Zamboni driver David Ayers won the weekend. His wife was just hilarious on Twitter. Everybody loves this guy coming in emergency as Carolina Hurricanes lose their starting goalie, then their backup goalie. So they had to go to the Toronto Marlies backup emergency contact goalie, a.k.a. the Zamboni driver, David Ayers. We heard the audio clip. He's just very excited. I guess they passed the hat around the Carolina dressing room to give him a bit of a bonus. The Hurricanes are also selling number 90 Ayers t-shirt jerseys. Proceeds of that is going to charity, and proceeds of that is also going to David Ayers because he's not an NHLer. Just winning the weekend. It later came out he hasn't drove the Zamboni in years, and he just kind of, you know, runs the facility, but it's so much of a better story to think he jumped off the Zamboni into the goalie pads and defeated the Leafs. Ooh, big trouble in Leafs land. Alex Ovechkin scores NHL goal number 700, becoming 8th on the list. Congratulations to Ovechkin. Wayne Gretzky still number 1 with 894. Then the great Gordie Howe with 801. Yanni Jaeger, 766. Brett Hull, 741. Marcel Dion, 731. Phil Esposito, 717. Mike Gardner, 708. And Ovechkin now passing Mark Messier, who's at 694. Ovechkin is still in 8th now at 700. He's going to catch Gardner, maybe even Esposito this season. We'll see how his... He continues to fill that net, but man, is he good. Sticking with the NHL, the trade deadline was on Monday. Your Montreal Canadiens became sellers, sending Nate Thompson to Philadelphia. The Ilya Kovalchuk saga is over, shipping him off to Washington for a third-round pick, eating half that salary, which was only a $700,000 two-way salary, and Scandella going to the Blues. So the Montreal Canadiens emptied their cupboard. We're going to have some more deadline coverage on tomorrow's show, Wednesday from 11 to noon, right here on 88.9. Bing. I love that bell. Drew Brees back in the NFL in 2020. Bad news for Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater, looking to be the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Brees is back with his best friend and coach, Sean Payton. Look for them to challenge again. The Saints just always seem to be on the wrong end of the ref's whistle. That notorious, of course, a couple years ago, pass interference call. And is it pass interference? Is it not? They just continue to be on the wrong end. But Brees is going to put up more statistics and maybe set more records with him coming back in 2020 as Tom Brady's future is still up in limbo. To boxing now. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, had himself a weekend defeating Deontay Wilder. Tyson Fury made the bold claim that he would take the fight out of the judges' hands. It was mission accomplished. In a one-sided and brutal fashion, Tyson Fury transformed to a puncher to score a pair of knockdowns before finishing Deontay Wilder in their rematch at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Wilder's corner threw in the towel in round 7 at 139 as a weary Wilder was battered from pillar to post for the entire fight. Fury now is at 30-0-1 with 23 KOs. Becomes the new 3-belt champion, defeating Wilder, who had the WBC title and took the title from Vladimir Klitschko in 2015. So Fury has all the gold now, silencing the doubters people were talking about. He put on a bunch of weight, but he just looked terrific. To local news now, we talked about it earlier. The Sherbrooke Phoenix are coming off a fantastic homestand. On Sunday, they defeated the Victoriaville Tigre 4-2 right here at the Sports Palace, as well as on Friday night. They defeated the Gatineau Olympique 6-3, and they also played back on the 20th. They were on the road up in Victoriaville, beating the Tigre again on the 20th, 4-3. Their upcoming schedule, they play here at home on the 26th against the Blainville Bravura Armada. Then they head up on the road to Val-d'Or to take on the Forer, and then the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies on the 1st of March. All that information, you can go to enhockeyphoenix.ca. If you go to the CHL standings, they haven't moved. Ottawa 67, still atop the CHL. Sherbrooke at 43-8-3-1. In number 2, the Portland Winterhawks, number 3, and the Moncton Wildcats in 4. The Sherbrooke Phoenix are still atop the standings in the queue. Now number 10, to local news. We go to the men's basketball team. We talked about it earlier. We heard Coach Gilpin. The men's basketball team were winners up at UCAM on the 22nd of February, 72-61. As well on the 20th of February, right here in Mitchell Gymnasium, 102-93. That's when Demos 10 went off with his amazing performance. The women's team also had themselves a night. The women's team were winners 86-76 up at UCAM, keeping their role a rolling, officially taking second place. They also won here from the Mitchell Gymnasium on the 20th, 93-69. So we're going to jump to audio with Buenos Aires native Amikeen Siciliano and her coach Craig Norman talking about Siciliano's big night for the Gators, locking up second place and looking ahead.
Coach Craig Norman and point guard Amikeen Siciliano, after a big Gators 93-69 victory over the Concordia Stingers, the final home game here this year in Mitchell Gym, assures you guys of second place. Amma, 38 points in the contest. First of all, Coach, start with what that means for your team, what hosting your first playoff game since 2009 in this gym will mean, and talk a little bit about the game.
I think, you know, we just discussed it in the locker room, and it's huge for the community, all right? We're extremely proud of our young team. We're looking forward to hosting a playoff game. It's always great when you get to play on your home court. It was nice to take care of business tonight. I thought Amaken was unbelievable tonight, you know, scoring 38 points in a big game to clinch second place for us. Deborah Abwaji was unbelievable, 18 points. Jael Kabunda had 15 and 12. So, I mean, there was so many contributions. And to score 93 points, all right, we haven't, you know, we shot the ball extremely well. And, you know, we had a bad stretch in the third quarter, but then they rebounded and had a great fourth quarter. So I was pleased with the effort.
Amma, a career high, obviously, with 38 points here. What was working well tonight for you?
Well, I feel like since the beginning of the year, I just been playing with freedom, like he let me do whatever I want, and also we were defending, like it's not all the offense, my offense, I just feel free because I have people that have my back on defense, so I can play my full game in offense, that is my best, and then for example Mitch can have her best at the defense, so I can relax a bit and not be 100% and dying on the floor, so I feel like it's full of my teammates, like I can play like that.
That's great. You guys forced 27 turnovers tonight and took 78 shots to Concordia's 57 field goal. So congratulations to both of you. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday in the RSEQ playoffs.
Thank you.
Right now, I just need you to get real loose. Get comfortable. Grab your loved ones or grab your love partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries. Just follow after me.
Yeah. Gonna do the two-step and cowboy boogie.
Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Gonna throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it. Let's have some fun. To the left now. To the right. Now take your left hand and put it on your side. Gonna roll your shoulders, do the slip and slide. This next part's my favorite part, cause it's time to shine.
Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie.
Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Gonna throw down, take a sip with it and lean back. It's simple, you can do it. Slide to the left, slide to the right. Now cool down, have a good time. Slide to the left, slide to the right. Do the butterfly, have a good time. Round, round, round and round you go. It's time to show out right now and take to the floor.
Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie.
Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down. To the left now and dip with it. Don't throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it. Take it down now, take it down now. Take it down now, take it down now. Bring it up now, bring it up now. Bring it up now, bring it up now. Take it down and crisscross. Bring it up now, crisscross. Do whatever you like right here. Just have.
Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie.
Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Don't throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it.
That was not so bad. That was not so bad, was it? That was not so bad. That was not so bad, was it? That was not so bad. That was not so bad, was it? That was not so bad. That was not so bad, was it?
Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Don't throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it.
Pretty good. pretty good.
Where do you think he is?
He's good right now. He's really good. I think, yeah, possibly. I was just trying to think through when he's last been out and all that kind of stuff. Certainly has had his moments of up and down health-wise that he's played through, you know, some things. But he's good right now. He's fresh and moving good, yeah. It's a big deal for him, too.
Go all the way through and play hard.
I just think it's, you know, he's super tough, you know, Doug, and I think he's one of those guys that has a real high pain tolerance, too, so he's going to be able to, or he's going to try to play through some stuff, and even though it probably affects some things, he'll still go out there and give you as much of a floor game and all that stuff as he can. But he's good right now, so that's good news.
I'm going to finish an album, but I just want to I want everybody to just take in the fact that, like, Fred VanVleet's Turks and Caicos 10 is just on 10 million, and that boy's looking like Frederico. That's why I keep doing the salsa dance tonight. I don't know if you guys seen it. I don't know if they put me on TV yet, but that boy's looking like Frederico.
Well, anytime you want to do the salsa dance, just let us know, and we'll get that going.
Let's sub him back in. Nick.
So the hotline bling is out now, or whatever the thing's
exactly.
Called?
Exactly. No, straight up.
And welcome back to the show. That was Drake talking about Fred VanVleet's tan from Turks and Caicos. Frederico. And before that was Coach Nick Nurse talking about Fred VanVleet and his contributions to the Raptors as they've got the third best record in the NBA. Good for them. And before that, we had our Dingoes flashback track with Blanco Brown and the Get Up, celebrating both Bishop's men's and women's teams, making it to the RSEQ playoffs this year. Good luck to them as they move forward. So talking about moving forward, look at the time. We're about 22 minutes in. We're getting our way towards the halfway mark. If you're a fan of the show, you know what that means. It is time for David Guetta. It is time for Sia and the Titanium Take of the Townships. Hit my music.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet, you take your aim. Far away, shoot me down, bow and bow. I am titanium.
For today's Titanium Take of the Townships, we go back to the curling ice. We're going to talk, it's a serious titanium take today. It's an inspirational story, though. 36-year-old curler from Peterborough, Ontario, John Epping, gave a great interview with Bob Weeks of TSN. 8 years ago, he came out as the first openly gay curler in the sport's history. He just captured a title to have a spot in the playdowns for the Olympic trials. He's going to be representing Ontario at the Tim Hortons Briar, which is starting up this Friday with the wild card game and going all week long in Kingston. So anybody who knows about curling or Epping himself, he's a member of the Leaside Curling Club. If that may sound familiar, the legendary Archie Quick used to come down here in March for the Lennoxville Men's Pie Bonspiel, which is coming up in a few weeks. We're members of the same club. So I'm just going to have an audio titanium take today. It's about a 5 or 6 minute interview that Weeks had with Epping, sitting down what it was like being the first openly gay curler to come out, what it was like for pressure and distractions amongst teammates, if he felt any stigmas or bullying with any old school mentality, if he felt he needed to prove himself, and just the power of social media, how it can be used for good, as opposed to being such a negative cesspool place. So why listen to me talk about it when you can hear the very eloquent, the very brave, courageous John Epping talking about being the first openly gay curler, coming out to the media, teammates, and everybody else. We'll be back.
John, it's been 8 years since you told the curling community that you were gay, and I want to take you back to that moment. And what was your life like before that as a curler? What was it like to make the decision, and what was the reaction?
Well, I guess, you know what, it took me a while to, to get myself together to tell everybody that I was gay. I didn't want it to distract my team, because I knew there would be obviously some articles written about it, lots of people asking questions, and it was actually right around the Olympic trials in 2013. And I waited till after that, and once that team kind of finished, I then decided to kind of announce it, and I announced it just to my friends and close close people in the curling community, and family, and then I let it kind of spread like wildfire after that. I told them they could tell whoever they wanted to, and it did within minutes, hours. You know, people were messaging me and trying to reach out, and some were stories of just saying, you know, trying to relate to me. Some were just saying, you know, we don't care, proud of you. You know, we've got your back. You know, don't worry if there's any negative feedback. And since then, it's really been a non-issue.
And now you're just John Epping, who happens to be one of the best curlers in the world, right?
Yeah, definitely. But with that too, I still lots of questions being asked about being gay amongst my curling friends and people in the community, which is great.
Why do you think the curling community in Canada is so inclusive?
I think we're not true professional athletes, so there's not the $1 million in curling yet. So I think there's just such a family feel. You're out there every weekend competing, and with the players, and at the end of the day, you get together maybe sometimes after the game or after you lose out on a weekend, and you know, go for dinner, have some drinks, hang out. So that side of, I think, of curling is so different from other sports and in the professional setting.
What's it like now when you go to an event and you talk to people and people reach out to you? Do you feel you have a responsibility to tell your story?
I do. I think as an athlete, somebody that's known in curling, if you watch curling or you curl, you would know Team Epping.
Sure.
I feel like I have a total obligation in any way to help anybody. I've had some stories in the past where, last year at Grand Slam, you walk along the boards at the end of the game and you sign some autographs, and an older gentleman stopped me and said, I came out last year because you told your story. And I think that just to be able, it made a difference in one person's life. And I think, right there, it's worth it.
Is that the power of why, when people say, well, why is this such a story? Why did he do this? Is it because of you touching those kind of people and people you said reaching out to you on social media? That kind of, is that the power of what you're doing?
Exactly. It's why I want to tell the story. Social media, there's a lot of negative things about social media.
we
know that, right? But there's a lot of great things. And one is that everybody can connect to me. I can get private messages on all social media outlets. And I've heard from kids wanting to tell their teammates. I'm afraid to tell my team that I'm gay. Or just telling family members, and to be able to influence or talk to them or offer them where to go for support, I think that's so important.
There's a lot of gay curling leagues in this country. I mean, they're the lifeblood of some curling clubs. I know one in Toronto here where they really are the lifeblood of it. And there's last month there's the 15th annual Canadian Championship for gay curlers. Do you share in that success story?
I do, because I know a lot of them that are there. I mean, they've all, I'm friends with a lot of them, and they've all reached out to me in some way too, and congratulated me on my successes in curling. So it's important, for me. I reached out to them and wished them all good luck. I think that's what's, so great. And the curling's fantastic. I mean, they're good players. But curling, gay curling leagues in Canada, it's continually growing. Toronto is got a huge, I think they push through like 200 curlers,
wow,
every gay curlers every Sunday. And I think that's just, fantastic for curling.
What would you tell a gay athlete in any sport, curling or otherwise, who might be struggling to come out? What advice would you give them?
I think first thing you're gonna think is that there's a negative, right, about coming out and telling. I think maybe there might be some negative feedback, but there's gonna be 100 times more positive feedback. And I think the difference that you can make in other people's lives, you have no idea, I think. And especially in other sports like hockey, and football and basketball that are bigger. They're bigger across the world. I think your influence can be massive. And there's people to talk to about it and help you through that. And message me. I can tell some more stories too.
When you go to a curling event, when you're at Tim Hortons Briar, when you're at one of the Grand Slam events, when you look out into the crowd, when you look across the ice, what do you see? Who is the curling community in this country, and how important is that in your story?
You know, it's people now of all ages. I was always thought, back when I first started, was a lot of maybe older people watching curling and coming to the events to watch. But now, going to every event, you see all these young kids that are excited. They have your jersey on, they have a picture, they have posters of you to sign. I think that we're just seeing the demographic grow so much, and that's what we want in curling. And you gotta remember, curling's like no other sport where you can do it when you're six and you can do it when you're 100 years old. And that's what I love about our sport.
I love your story. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet, you take your aim. Far away, shoot me down, bow and bow. I am titanium. I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze, and love is a riddle.
Tune in every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. and again on Wednesdays for a brand new show, 11 a.m. to noon, twice a week, here on 88.9 CJMQ, The Show.
Gary, congratulations. You are a national champ. I need the emotions going through your mind, the draw in 10, and then you come back and you make a big one in 11.
I guess I just like to keep everyone on their toes. I was confident in my draw weight, and just on that one, I just added it a hair, and I was like, no, I wanted it back. My girls, knew I was going to make this one, and the girls judged it well. Val called it well and made it perfect.
You've lost a Scotties final before. Val lost two Scotties finals. How did you come together, four skips, one team, to make this dream come true?
Yeah, Val and I were talking, and we just thought, well, maybe this is what maybe she wanted to try and do, and do the more supportive role. And then we were talking to Shannon and Brianne, and we brought all of us together, and everyone really stepped up and really to embrace their positions.
How much did you think about your brother Kyle looking down on you this week and right now?
I wish he was here to see this. I know he's watching down on me.
Congratulations. Enjoy this with your teammates.
Thank you.
It doesn't sting. It sucks to lose, but it's awesome to lose to such a great team, and they're going to be great representatives for Canada, and good luck to them.
What can you say about that comeback?
Yeah, I mean, we fall right to the end, and it just, in the end, she made a great job, so good for her. It means we're right there, and that's curling. It's a game of inches and a game of one shot here and there, so we're excited that we're right there and one shot here or there, and we can be the next ones to wear the Maple Leaf on our back. So we're happy with our performance this week. There's a lot of teams that would have wanted to be in that final, so really proud of the girls. They battled hard, and right to the end, we made it through our last one, so it was a great game.
A great game it was. That was Rachel Holman. Very brave. That's a very gutsy to get up there and have to do an interview after losing 8-7 in the national final. Of course, Manitoba's Carrie Earnerson, Val Sweeting, Shannon Burchard, and their lead, whomever she was, capturing the Scotties 2020 national title. We got the Tim Hortons Briar coming up from Kingston, Ontario. Ontario's Glenn Howard taking on Mike McEwen for the very last spot, the 16th spot in the Briar this year. The loser goes home. The winner stays for the week to curl. We're going to have all kinds more coverage. But if we're going to talk some curling, we need some theme music. Let's go to Twisted Sister. Here's your smoking hot S3 curling segment of the week. Here's I Wanna Rock.
I wanna rock!
Little Twisted Sister to get the segment going. Welcome to I Want to Rock. We've got some fantastic local curling news to jump to.
Without hesitation, we are going to go to the boys from North Attlee and Sutton. Back-to-back, now four-time Little International champs at the Belfast Curling Club down in Maine. They're home away from home. Big congratulations for capturing the A title to Steve McPherson, Martin Rourke, Andrew Hatch, and Vinnie Longdocker, the team of North Attlee Sutton, going all the way down to Maine, into the great USA, and teaching those Americans how it's done. Just down the road from the radio station, we go to the Jean-Guy Blanchard Open, the Sherbrooke Open, that took place. Big congratulations to Team Guy Thoyon from Thetford Mines capturing the A-class final, Team Germain Tremblay out of Magog capturing the B, and Team Matt McCrae, yes, yours truly, capturing the C title with my hybrid team of North Attlee Danville, with my buddies Ethan Lebrecht, Christopher Lodge, and Jeremiah Cox at lead. Big thank you to TJ Arbery coming into Super Spare on the Friday night. Also, a huge thank you goes out to JP Tremblay and the gang at the Sherbrooke Curling Club for a great organized. Thank you to the Icemen, the ladies at the bar, all of the people that sponsored the event, the volunteers. It was a fantastically run tournament. We change gears. We go to mixed doubles now, where we had the brother and sister duel of Greg Cheel and Lauren Cheel losing in the finals to Felix Asselin at the Provincial Championships. Good luck to Greg and his sister Lauren, who again lost to Felix Asselin, who's been to the Briar a couple years playing third for Mike Fournier. So again, good on them for making it that far. So there were 25 teams. We had Laurie St. George and Felix Asselin capturing the gold medal. Silver medal, Lauren and Greg Cheel. Bronze medal went to Emily and Robert Desjardins. There were 25 teams that were all at the Boucherville Curling Club at this superb provincial championship. Good luck to Team Felix Asselin and Laurie St. George, who will be representing Quebec on the national stage. But good on the Lennoxville team for representing us well, that brother-sister duo. Just making us proud and doing some fantastic work on and off the ice. And last but not least, we go to the Lennoxville Curling Club, who played in the women's double Mardi Gras tournament. So in the Mardi Gras A trophy, we had Kyle Lynch and Nancy Baldwin of Lennoxville taking on Jacinthe Loisel and Francis Roy of Magog. In the B, the Doug Guthrie Memorial, we had Chelsea Côté and Morgan Côté of North Attlee defeating Mariette Bolac and José Boulanger of Sherbrooke. In the C event, the Joanne Poulin Memorial Trophy, we had Lee Reed Bournier and Colleen Keat of the North Attlee Curling Club taking on Bridget Gosselin and José Clich of Sherbrooke. So congratulations to the winners there. And of course, to round out I Wanna Rock, we got to talk about it again. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Kerry Yernerson winning the title, winning the national women's curling title. And we got the Tim Hortons Briar right around the corner for all you excited. Just up in Kingston, not too far away. Should be some great curling action as we find ourselves in the heart of the curling season. Hit my music. I love having new music. I want to rock!
Play.
And we are back. That was the Jackson 5 with ABC. A little shout out to the North Attlee Curling Club with Steve McPherson and the boys capturing the A down in Maine, the Cote sisters capturing the B here in Lennoxville, and yours truly capturing the C at the Jean-Guy Blanchard Sherbrooke Open. A little ABC, a little 1, 2, 3 for you curling enthusiasts out there. Shifting gears. Thank you again for joining us here on the airwaves. The show can be heard every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and again Wednesday from 11 to noon. You can listen to us live on the website. It's a very great website. Check us out. You can listen live. There's all kinds of news, top tracks, interviews. Check it out today. So we're going to shift gears. I saw an interview over the weekend, a very serious nature, kind of a serious show today, you know, it's like Titanium Take with Johnny Epping. We're going to go to the NHL and we're going to go to Ottawa Senators forward, Bobby Ryan, who's been battling some demons, battling some alcoholism and making his way back to the league. Just very open with the media, coming out with his battle with addiction, how hard it's been on his family, how hard it's been on his career. And it's just very inspirational to see somebody so raw and honest and going through problems, but the strength to go through it. Something that hits very home for yours truly, so I thought I would share this audio clip with you today. We got Bobby Ryan talking about his demons and battling addiction while also being a National Hockey League player. You're listening to 88.9 CJMQ. This is the show. I'm your host, Matt McRae. We'll be back.
I'm doing great. It's been... I've been back since December in some capacity, and what that capacity is just kind of gets gradually updated. But I'm doing very, very well. You know, it's been, I guess, trying at times, but everybody's been very supportive, and my recovery has been, a process and a learning thing for me for sure. But I've come a long way and just continuing to get a little bit better with it each day.
Can you talk about just how tough this stretch has been for you off the ice and mentally?
It's been tough. It's gotten a little easier every day as you get a little more integrated, and just being around the guys the first month, obviously very tough, and then you come back and you're very isolated with what you're doing and trying to make the baby steps to come back, right? You're going through the protocols and all that, but you're not around the guys. And thankfully for me, I got the other affairs in order and was able to just continue to come to the rink and get a little bit better and a little stronger every day. And the guys have been great. And away from the rink, my wife's been an absolute rock star for me, allowing me to do this. So taking on more than she's probably had to, but been absolutely incredible.
What led to this decision for you in Detroit to leave? I think it was your last project.
Yes, something I've been battling for a while, and I've tried on my own, and I was already getting help for it. What I was doing wasn't enough. I was trying to white knuckle things and trying to do things the wrong way, and I'd have 20 days of nothing and one real bad one, and you just can't get better without it. And there's such a stigma around not asking for help, just trying to do it. And I've done that for a long time, and I finally you could call it a panic attack, but it was more of a realization that the route that I was going had no good end in sight. And that's not just professionally, that's personally. And I didn't want to continue to do that. You know, I had a lot of times where I woke up in the morning just overridden with guilt and shame and saying I would do it, doing it for 12 days and messing up again. And it just wasn't, it wasn't going to lead. It had no good end.
How tough was that decision to make? Because it's obviously a very public thing. Well, I can go through it, won't be nearly like the same as you. So how tough was you to ultimately make that call?
I think that's probably why it took me longer, because I knew, in a perfect world, I would have gone in June, right, and just kind of did it quietly. But I had to learn to kind of accept that it happens when it happens, and I spent 2 weeks agonizing over the fact that it was going to be a media thing for me. And I spent months and years before that trying to avoid that with doing it on my own. And, I got to a point where I just said enough of this, of the shame and the guilt and not being the person you need to be for your family. And it, it, it happens when it happens. I've learned that, and I'm starting to learn how to accept it a little bit. And, you know, I've dreaded this day for the better part of 3 months. But if you're going to stand here and take time to heal yourself, you're going to have to face the music, right?
Forgive me. And I know this is a personal question, but can you tell us what you got help for?
Yeah, alcohol. Alcohol. Yeah, no, nothing more than that, thankfully.
And baby, you're not mine. We've got something and it sure is fine. Let's take our love one night at a time. There's one thing that we both agree. I like you and baby, you like me. Let's take our love one night at a time. Love all night, practice makes perfect. Gonna get it right, gonna get it right, one night at a time. All night, love all night, practice makes perfect. Gonna get it right, gonna get it right, one night at a time. You all day long, it feels so good, it can't be wrong. I got my fingers crossed that this goes on and on. Tomorrow, well, that's another day. Come on, baby, now what do you say? Let's take our love one night at a time. Love all night, practice makes perfect. Gonna get it right, gonna get it right, one night at a time. All day long, it feels so good, it can't be wrong. I got my fingers crossed that this goes on and on. All night, love all night, practice makes perfect. Gonna get it right, gonna get it right.
And we are back. That is legendary country music artist George Strait with One Night at a Time. And before that, Bobby Ryan, just taking it one day and one night at a time as he battles alcohol addiction and being a professional athlete in the National Hockey Association. Just thought that'd be a nice little gift for you. Look at the time, look at the time. We're making our way to the top of the hour. This has been the show on 88.9. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday evening. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show, 11 to noon. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NHL trade deadline, all the movers and shakers and the shakeups, a lot of movement. Montreal Canadiens becoming sellers. Kovalchuk's gone. Scandella leaving earlier in the week. And then news of Nate Thompson going to Philadelphia, breaking just on Monday. Other notable things, if anybody wants to catch some great TV on Wednesday night, CBS Survivor Season 40, Winners Take All. It is a cutthroat season with all returning players, all returning winners. It is some great reality TV. This is what the game is all about. Also, for you notable Canadian Big Brother fans out there, the new season, Big Brother Canada is going to be back on Global Wednesday nights, March 4th. You can see that premiere episode and them make their comeback to Global if anybody wants to see a good Canadian reality TV show. Other notes, we're jumping to the BU scoreboard to clean up in women's soccer. We hosted the Université de Sherbrooke ladies team on the 23rd, and the BU Gators were victorious 3-0. A big win for them. Also, they hosted Carleton University on February 16th, losing 1-0 to the Ravens. So that cleans up all the articles for today's show. Thank you again for joining me. Before we get to the end, we got LeBron James talking about the All-Star game as Team LeBron beat Team Giannis. He was playing with Anthony Davis. And he just kind of had a mental breakdown of where everybody was, what that final play was, who drew it up. They were trying to get Kawhi to do his same shot versus the 76ers. And just like a next level, you can really see how a pro athlete's mind goes and breaks things down. So we're going to go, and then you hear AD at the end going, yeah, what he said. So we're going to go to one last audio clip. Here we got LeBron James breaking down the final play that won them the All-Star game, all kinds of money going to charity, rave reviews about the new format. Of course, there was a target score at the end instead of actually just playing the fourth quarter timed. Each quarter was a mini game, 100K going to the charity of their choice. That was last weekend back in Chicago. But we can just hear the beautiful mind of LeBron James and just how he sees basketball and how they break it down. And then I got one more song for you, and then we'll be gone. So be sure to join us again tomorrow from 11 to noon. I'm your host, Matt McRae. This is your home for sports talk in the Eastern Townships. You've been listening to The Show.
How did that play develop? Whoa. Coach drew a play in timeout to get a pin down for Kawhi. We was doing the Toronto versus Philly game clincher play where you hit the shot over Embiid. They switched out on AD, and two guys went to AD, so Kawhi went directly to James. James drove the baseline and threw it to CP in the corner. And then CP drove middle, kicked it back to me, and they were scrambled defensively. For a second, I was about to go one-on-one, which you saw in the picture that I posted with me and Giannis. And then when I saw that Kyle Lowry was on Anthony, damn, that sounds crazy calling me Anthony. I've been hanging with your family too long, man. They call you Anthony. When I saw Kyle on AD, we just made eye contact and already knew he was going to duck in, and it was just a bang-bang play right there. So.
Your perspective?
Same thing.
No, but he's in a different spot. You ain't see how I broke that down? Like, I broke the whole thing down?
Yeah, but when you write the story, then you guess the quote.
No, it was the same thing.